Hello, and welcome to episode 224 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa, and I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
I totally forgot to start.
Oh no! Do we need to do it again?
We're good. I mean, I've got my manual stopwatch, which is what I use to timestamp. And
I was like, "What are you starting recording?" I thought we had started recording long ago already.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, what's up?
Gucci, your time is just a bit off now. So
it's fine. Whatever. That's a 5 second delay.
Timestamps on YouTube are going to be fucked. People are going to be so angry.
People are going to come here for reviews, click on reviews, and be like, why am I listening to user questions?
30 seconds of user questions. How dare this podcast? Come on, man.
My goodness. Well, if you do listen, either audio or video, leave me a comment. I do want to know if people actually use those timestamps. I mean, I won't stop doing them because I like doing them, but I'm curious as to who actually uses them.
I love a video with good timestamps. It saves a lot of time because if I'm not enjoying a section, I can just skip ahead to the next one. Yeah. Mm. It may be cruel to the content that you're putting out, but hey, people got a lot of shit to do.
I'd rather people consume some of our content as opposed to none of our content.
So, absolutely. Exactly.
You know, exactly. I've got that tattooed.
Also, I tend to watch videos on YouTube at like, I'll watch for like 30 seconds and then like fast forward 15 seconds because I'm like, okay, next. Mm. Maybe that's a problem with my brain. But
Do you do that and watch at twice the speed?
Absolutely, yeah. I also do watch YouTube videos, yeah.
My goodness. I had such a dumb moment at work this week. One of my colleagues was saying like, she's selling her old, I think it's the Kindle, like selling her old Kindle. She got a new one. A new one's so fancy, it can like, she can read in it and listen to audiobooks.
Oh, fancy.
So I was like, how would you do both at the same time?
Like, oh my God, Matthew. Why would you be doing like, both at the same time?
I find it helps me focus. Like when I'm reading a book and I'm listening to the audio version.
Wait, what? She actually does that?
No, but it's the same book. So,
okay, but not at the same time. Okay. The way you phrased that, I was like, wait, she actually does listen and read at the same time.
Yeah, so that's what is my initial reaction. I was like, hold on. Are you reading a book and then listening to another book at the same time? Because that's like physically impossible. Like who can actually do that? She's like, no.
That's insanity.
She's like, no, I'm reading and listening to the same book being read to me. It helps me focus. It's like, oh, okay. That makes way
more
sense.
Wait, hold on. I'm still confused yet. So she is listening to it while reading it. It's the same book, but she's doing both at the same time.
Yeah, but she's not doing... I thought it was two separate books. It's like...
But this is still insane to me. This is like... So you're reading the book and you're basically listening to it get narrated to you, but you're following the words.
Yeah, like I can see that. Why is that so confusing to you?
That's so weird.
No way.
That's bizarre to me.
See, I couldn't do that because I think I read faster than an audiobook will speak to me. But I can get behind it because, you know, some audiobooks have, you know, effects or they have somebody doing voices.
Very good accents. So,
like, that's cool. But just the raw confusion of, are you reading Harry Potter and then listening to Lord of the Rings at the same time?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Because that was my first thought. I was like, you can't do that. That's impossible.
I think the cool thing with a Kindle like that is, like, it tracks your progress across both versions. So like if you read at night and then you decide to continue it in your car as an audiobook, it will know where.
So you can just pick up. That's cool.
I think that's how it works. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Because I like listening to audiobooks on the way to work every now and then. That's how I got through some of the Witcher books and some other ones. It's a good time. Yeah. Audiobooks are good.
Good time. Yeah.
But reading and listening at the same time, that's a bit... I've never heard of that. I won't knock it till I try. Well, I have knocked it. It's weird.
You did. You laughed.
It's pretty strange. It's
rude.
Yeah. My bad. Imagine. I'll never have to meet this colleague of yours because they'll think
they're just going to cut you.
Cut me with their Kindle.
Oh, wow. That's paper thin. Yeah. Yeah. You haven't lived till you've had a paper cut from a Kindle.
Yo. There's a podcast title nice. Right there. Paper cut from Kindle. Kindle like, paper cuts. That's the one.
I'm going to make that as my timestamp. Paper cuts yeah. from Kindles.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a busy week. There's some, I guess, programming info and big news with regards to the podcast and especially with regards to Matthew. Do you want to explain what's happening?
I quit. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, damn. Brutal.
I'm sorry I had to find out this way.
Brutal. Wasn't expecting that. Not at all.
No, but so for everyone listening and watching, I am moving to the UK next month with my lovely wife. We've been talking about it for...
I'd hope so.
I should tell her we're going. Well, actually, she should tell me that we're going because she's our link to get
there. Oh, good Lord.
No, but yeah, so we've been planning this move for a long time now. Like, long story short, in 2020, we actually had a trip planned to the EU, to the UK, and to Amsterdam to just suss out where we want to live. And then COVID happened, which, like, we all know, severely all delayed good. Any kinds of travel or moving plans. But just so we picked up the pieces sort of the end of last year, done all the admin, and we have our visas and we have our flights booked as of last week. So yeah, we are going.
Now it's very real.
It was real when we paid those visas in the NHS fee. I was like, there's no going back here. This is where we're all in.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
It's a lot of money. But just to be clear, because I feel I need to tell people this, we're not leaving because... fuck South Africa. Like, that's not at all our intention. We're going with like a 2 to 5 year plan to see, do we like it there? Do we not? We might stay. We might come back. We don't know, but it's not at all. I know people go like, oh, wow. Everyone we've told like, oh, good timing. The load shedding. Hey, just chase you out the country. Like, no, I have family here. I love my job here. Like, I'm not leaving for any of those reasons. So yeah, but we are going soon. But I guess that leads into our next point. The podcast will continue. We're not, no intention of calling it quits yet. But there will be a, I suppose, a shakeup, or your regular broadcast schedule will look a little bit different over my initial move because I will be unable to record. So you might get Alessandro flying solo. You might get some guests. Podcasters, we don't know. We haven't really ironed that out yet, but we will definitely pick up as per usual when I'm all settled that side.
Yeah. We haven't figured that entirely out yet, but yeah, obviously the priority is to to give you all the time you need to set up properly and get comfortable that side, because that's a big, big thing. So and I know you are like not taking all of your equipment because hey, every little piece you have to take costs money. So
yeah,
you have to get set up with all your stuff there, new PC, new all of this. So it'll take time, but we'll make a plan. We'll definitely flesh out the plans closer to the time.
Yeah.
Because it is like mid-June.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be sad not having Matty around here. Can't go to Franco's with him anymore. Oh.
We told Franco's last week. Very upset. Oh,
they must have been distraught. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be an exciting move for you and Lenska. And I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, it's this bittersweet thing because we are very excited. Like, I'm very excited to live in another city. And like, I think of things like having Amazon, you know, actual proper things like that, you know, things that we don't get this side, but it's been such a difficult thing because we're not unhappy in South Africa, like not at all. Like, we actually, in terms of career, family, living situations, all of that, like, we're actually very happy. Like we're at a point the other day, it's like, why are we going? It's like, we've spoken about it for so long now. If we don't go, we're always going to be like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like if we went. So it's like, we're ticking that box. We can always come back. So yeah. It's happening. Realsies.
It's fun. You just wanted to go to the UK to buy a Steam Deck. I understand.
Oh my God.
It's a very expensive way to get one.
Yeah, it's a very expensive. I mean, for all those times I'll be playing on the tube. Listen, I can understand people going like, yo, when you commute, you know, you've got more time to be productive. Have you been on the tube as a tourist?
Oh, fuck no. It's like so uncomfortable. You're standing.
Not going to do any of that if you're traveling
no,
so far.
Fuck no.
Yeah, definitely.
No.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be exciting. I think it'll be a cool experience for you guys. And I think you'll learn a lot about, like you said, you're going there and you want to give it a go. You want to make sure that you don't live with the regret that you never tried that. So yeah, I hope it works out. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
And we will obviously continue the podcast when you are there remotely.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see logistically what that does to like sort of latency on Discord with video. So that'll be fun. But I think it'll be fine.
Don't know. I mean, I think as long as we're getting our sync done before we
yeah,
start
then it
and
should
stuff.
Be fine. Yeah. I just got to wait a bit longer to get a response when I say, and Matthew. And
then it's like, I don't think it'll be that big of a delay.
It'll be like, you know, when you're talking to a relative on the phone and that fucking delay on the phone, it's like long.
Oh, you mean WhatsApp?
Well, that essentially, yeah, too.
When a WhatsApp call delays, you're like, hello? Hello, yes, what? Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. God,
that crosstalk is the fucking worst because you're not sure if they're still there and you're like, are you still there? And you say that as they reply and you're like, fuck's sake. You know?
And then you're like, can you? Like, yes, I'm still here.
Oh my God, yeah. No, I hate it. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
Actual worst.
Cannot believe we have all this AI technology and we still haven't figured that out.
Sometimes
certain limitations can't be breached.
Do you use Teams? No, I think I've asked you this before.
No, we don't use Teams. Mm-mm.
How is it that we've got things like Discord and Twitch and all these other streaming platforms that work seamlessly, but have you ever, okay, you don't use Teams, but a video call on Teams is like
I've used it before. It's not great.
It's the worst.
It's like, complete ass.
It's laggy. Sometimes you drop from the call. I'm like, how? Like Microsoft had Mixer. You know how to stream. You have the technology.
Yeah. Do you know what the scary thing is? Is that I think the usage stats on something like Slack. Mm. Slack has like 50 million users or something like that. Oof. Teams has 180 million. And that's purely because it's on Windows.
It's on Windows.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's availability. Availability trumps all. And that's why businesses will use it. So
it is
trash. It is complete trash.
Actual,
I hate it. But yeah.
Worst.
Actual doo-doo.
Actual doo-doo water.
You know what else is actual doo-doo water? Not video games.
Not video games. Never.
But video games are what we talk about here on Checkpoint Chat. There's only going to be pretty much Matthew speaking because I've been playing games I can't talk about yet. So
this is
can only talk about next week. So
yeah. There's just some forewarning.
Matthew's flying solo. Yeah.
Next week, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Next week's episode will also be we'll chat about it.
We'll put it
on social, but it'll be late.
It'll
to
be
meet
like
some embargoes.
A bit delayed,
yeah.
But yeah, I've been, we're pivoting now. We are now a Tears of the Kingdom podcast because we're going to be talking about this game, I think, for a very long time because it's a big game and I'm chipping away at it slowly. But yeah, let me tell you, this game is real good. If you had any doubts, you know, that the sequel to one of the best games ever made would be good, which people did, in all fairness. Tears of the Kingdom has been an absolute blast to play. And that said, I've put in maybe 10 to 15 hours in the last week. Like I've played quite a bunch. And it's interesting because I'm still scratching the surface, but I've seen so much stuff that I've done. And it's been such an interesting experience because there's been all this talk of like, oh, I can't believe Tears of the Kingdom is it's a copy paste of Hyrule. Like, how could they do this? You know, it's the same game, basically. They've changed a few things up. And I hear criticisms like that, but I'm like, have you seen Hyrule? Have you seen how things have changed?
Gigantic as well. Like,
have you seen how this game has been expanded with Sky Islands and a whole nother area, which I won't touch on for spoiler reasons, but like the play area is huge in this game. And even Hyrule itself, I'm like, I've played Breath of the Wild through twice now and like 100%ed it both times. I didn't memorize Hyrule.
Sorry, that was pretty cool. You were on a glider and landed right on your horse and Link transitioned so beautifully. That was slick, fantastic. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I know Hyrule's the same, and I know if you've played the games, you'll probably be like, oh, this is this part of the map, whatever. But it's such a big play area. I can't fathom why people are criticizing that. Also, given that Nintendo have stuffed so much into the sequel. Like, I think I was saying to you, or I don't know who I was saying it to this week, that this game took 6 years to make, right? It's like, okay.
It's the longest gap between mainline Zeldas
ever. They probably took two to three years to get the story content down, and they just spent the next 3 years just polishing the shit out of it, because even like, I'll touch on that quickly. So
I did see, just before you get there, I did see someone make a really good comment about how, you know, having a base world allowed the Zelda team to kind of push the game in directions they otherwise wouldn't have been able to if they were creating, you know, a whole new base for that thing to exist on. Having like this Hyrule and being like, okay, we have solved the issue of how do we get exploration to work? How do we get these like sight lines to work? Now let's just focus on mechanics, you know, giving them the time to do that. This game wouldn't have been possible if it took place in a completely different map. So like, I mean, that trade-off is completely fine with me, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you missed our coverage last week, or we just touched on the opening hours of the game, or you have no idea what Tears of the Kingdom is. So, yeah, it's a sequel to Breath of the Wild. And I think the biggest change that comes in are obviously the mechanics that are introduced. So, gone are, you know, the things from the first game. You can't freeze time. You can't throw time bombs. You can't, I don't know what the ability is called, but you can't, like, levitate objects. But you can. Like,
yeah, technically.
So, so those, if you think like, oh, you're gonna get those abilities plus new ones, the ones from the from Breath of the Wild are out of here. But they do still appear in some form. So I think probably the most important ability in this game is what is it called? The hand. I've actually gone blank now.
Ultra hand.
Ultra hand lets you, so if you're watching the video footage now, you see it lets you like pick up and move things like you could in Breath of the Wild. But in a very neat twist, you can stick objects together, which lets you do all sorts of crazy things. Like you can build vehicles. I haven't got there yet, but I know at some stage I'll be able to build like planes or gliders, or like I've seen on Twitter people build actual robots. I have no idea how they're doing that, but it is possible. You have another ability called Fuse, which lets you in a similar manner fuse two weapons together. And that in itself has been quite something experimenting. So again, if you're watching the video feed, you'll see I've got a big stick with a rock attached to it. That's, you can do all sorts of weird combinations. I like, one of my favorite ones is you get a gadget that spews fire. Essentially, you can slap it onto your shield, and every time you hold your shield out, it shoots fire in front of you, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And then you get another, I think the last ability called Ascend, which it seems very simple. Like it lets you look up at the ceiling and basically like clip through it to the surface of that ceiling or, you know, come out another side. And when I first saw that, I thought it's going to be very like case specific. You know, you can only be able to use it in certain parts, but that's not at all the case. Like you can use this thing
anywhere.
You can use it anywhere. If the game, like I think when you look up at the ceiling, the game calculates like, oh, is there a clear place for you to come out?
The ceiling sort of has to be a sort of close-ish to you. It can't be like, this is like miles away, you know?
Yeah, so there's a range, and I think the game just calculates, oh, you know, is anything on the other side? Are you close enough? Cool.
Yeah.
You can just clip right through it. It's insane.
Apparently it was a cheat code in development. The devs just used it as a means to get around quickly.
I saw that as well.
This is fun. Yeah.
And it's been invaluable. Like It's a weird thing because I do worry that, you know, when I'm playing, am I missing chunks of designed gameplay? But then I'm also like, but it's just really convenient to skip climbing certain things, you know? But on that, so I think one thing I really want to talk about is how the fact that this game works on the Switch is like actual sorcery. Like when you are out in the open, so think about it. Breath of the Wild is already, it's an open world. There's a lot going on. It can be pretty taxing on the Switch, which is not quote unquote next gen hardware. Even in it, on its launch, it's kind of like, you know, for all intents and purposes, the power of a PS4 and Xbox One. Now, 6 years later, the game's still running, but it's also doing all this other stuff. Like, there's a lot of physics-based things. You could have so many objects stuck together, and it runs. Like, granted, there are moments where I think if there's a lot going on,
So I'm watching, if you're not watching the video, you're missing some prime puzzle solving from Matthew and Ashran. And
I don't know why that happened.
I really thought that would work. I was like, wow, this is genius.
I don't know. So if you're not watching, there's basically a puzzle where I need to get across a chasm and I've got a rail. I stuck a wheel to like a platform and the wheel just went without the platform. It was very upsetting. But yeah, what I was saying is that the fact that this game runs, I have not had a single crash, anything like that. And just thinking about, I don't know, the sort of problem solving or polish it went into this game. Like, for comparison's sake, I'm sorry to bring it up. I'm still playing Jedi Survivor on the side, which we know launched as a hot mess. Like, I'm really enjoying the game.
Still's a hot mess,
But that game does things where I'm like, to your point, like, okay, Nintendo had Breath of the Wild as a base game to work off here. Okay.
Yeah.
Jedi Survivor had Jedi Fallen Order as a base game to work off. And granted, the development time was a lot shorter, like 3 years versus 6 years. But
yeah,
the amount of technical things I'm having in a AAA game from EA, like I've had, for example, my PlayStation just straight up reboots. I've had...
Jesus, really?
I've had moments where I'm like, I don't know how to progress this puzzle. And I reload, it's like, oh, I needed to do, like, push this button, but the prompt just never came up, for example.
Oh, awesome.
It's like, you know, just putting these side by side, which maybe isn't fair, but it's like the fact that...
Yeah, they're high-class sequels, and they, you know, one is definitely more of a showpiece of, like, this is the pinnacle of what the Switch can do technically, you know?
Yeah.
This is them wringing out every little bit of it so that they can get all these wild combinations working. And Fallen Order is like, yeah, we're only going to target new consoles because we think we require that power, and then under deliver on that aspect of it. So
yeah,
it's weird. Yeah,
it is so strange. But back to Tears of the Kingdom. I think so. All these tools said and covered. I hear people's criticism of it's the same Hyrule, it's the same play area, but the way you navigate it and the way Nintendo have included puzzles and different specific things, it's just like, it's unreal. Like, I've put in 10 to 15 hours. I've done so much stuff. Like, I've done one of the main quests. I've done a lot of messing around. And I think that's where this game really shines, is that it's not about, like, I listened to the kind of funny review of it, and I can't remember who said it, but somebody basically said there's no, like, traditional checklist of an open world game. It's not like, oh, you know, you have to do this. Like, it's there, but it's not structured the same way. The way this game's designed, it just really pushes you to just explore and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I think the best moments of this are those where there's so many people playing, and at any point you can be like, so what are you doing in your game? Like, what's the last thing you did? And 9 times out of 10, someone's going to have a story or unique moment that you've done something similar or you've never heard of before. Like, oh my God, that's amazing. Just the playground that Nintendo have put together here, it's incredible.
Like, I think that's the beauty of it. That was like the fun thing about Breath of the Wild as well. Sorry. Playing it at launch was just, you know, seeing how people were navigating that world in different ways and in different orders and finding different things. I distinctly remember, like, a month into, like, chipping away at Breath of the Wild, everyone was starting to talk about Eventide Island. And everyone was like, wait, what the fuck is that? Like, where is that? How can I go there? And You know, there's going to be moments like that with Tears of the Kingdom. Everyone now is hyper-focused on, like, what can I build with these weird mechanics, you know? And there's so many weird inventions that you're seeing shared on Twitter and stuff, and that's fun. But there's going to be moments where it's like, people are like, I just found this thing, like, underground or in the air. Like, what is this, you know? Or
even to that point, like, the fact that if you've not played Breath of the Wild, like, I think you'll still have an absolute blast playing this game. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, watch a YouTube video, just catch up on the story to know what's happening with Link and Zelda and this world. But you will miss small things. Like, I'm dying to eventually get to Eventide Island because I'm like,
there now?
It must still be there, but like, what twist have they done to it? I mean, like, I went to, so the main story beats I follow, they sort of push you to do Rito Village first. Mm. And the story beat is, oh, they're experiencing like very strange weather. It's cold over there. And now all of a sudden, this whole area that used to be this lush green, like breezy, windy, chilled zone is like covered in ice now. Look, probably the same landmass, but it functions completely differently, which is very cool. So it's things like that. I'm like, well, what's happening out with, on Volcano Land? What are they doing that side? And what's happening out in the desert?
And what's happening at the fish people place?
I
wanted to ask, and I don't know if you can answer it without like spoiling things, but there was a big thing made by Nintendo literally a day before this game came out about classic dungeons coming back or more traditional dungeons coming back, because Breath of the Wild obviously had the Divine Beasts, which were dungeons, but they were a lot smaller than what, you know, people were used to in a Zelda game. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, I think myself included, found that as like, not bad, just like the points of the game that didn't really click with them, you know. Have they brought back quote unquote like traditional dungeons in that sense?
So, yeah, I don't know. It's not really spoilery, but I followed, like I said, I went to Rito Village. I've ticked off that main quest. And like, I'm not going to tell you what the MacGuffin is or whatever, but I do think it feels more like a traditional Zelda in that sense of like, there's a thing.
and getting to it's
like one of my biggest criticisms of the base game is like, I loved the hell out of Breath of the Wild. But in terms of story, like, I think if you mainlined that game, it would feel very content light. It's like, oh, okay, you go to, you know, Rito, so I'm just going to stick with Rito Village. You go to Rito Village and it's like, oh no, there's this divine beast. We need to learn this cool ability and then like penetrate the divine beast. And that usually is like, you know, that's like an hour or not even, just to like tick off some boxes. And then all of a sudden you're on the divine beast, and the divine beast themselves were very cool. Like, those were big, cool dungeons. Like, the main story beats I've done here to get to the first main thing, just like, it feels that they've fleshed it out a lot more. Like, getting there was way more of a journey. And then when I arrived, I was like, fuck yes. This is very cool.
And that's like, cool. That's cool to know. It's not another divine beast, put it that way. It's not like, we made traditional dungeons and it's like the skeletons of the fucking divine beast.
Oh my God. But I mean, that's my only instance of an example. Like, I haven't done anything else story-wise, but I have had moments where I'm like, shit, I feel like the scale is more epic. Like, in terms of story and quest, I'm like, I feel that they've ticked that box of, they've made it more, what's the right word? Like, not pertinent, but it's not like in the base game, it was just like, oh, cool, I did the Divine Beasts. I did it in like an hour, 2 hours, cool. But yeah, it feels like this is more of an event to get to the thing.
More involved.
Yeah. So I'm very keen to see what else they've done. But I don't know if the game is stuffed with, you know, 10 traditional dungeons or whatever, but it feels like there are Zelda dungeons, which is cool.
Okay. That's interesting to know. I'm curious to see, you know, considering the kind of spin they put on everything else, like them saying, oh, there's traditional Zelda dungeons. I don't believe it will be like, oh, this is like a very similar structure to, Ocarina or Majora's Mask or Wind Waker, you know, that are very traditional. I get the sense that when they say traditional, they're like, yes, it is a dungeon, quote unquote, but it's still, this is still our spin on those dungeons, you know, just like the Divine Beasts were. I get the sense that it's like, oh, they're traditional in the sense of length, because I think they realize that the Divine Beasts were very, very small dungeons compared to their previous efforts. So
so we'll see.
Curious to see. But I know there's also a bunch of stuff elsewhere in the game that, you know, we don't have to talk about, because it is quite fun to discover those things on your own, in the same way that they were fun to discover in like a game like Elden Ring. You know, giving away that certain things exists is part of the you know, it's part of the surprise. So yeah, we won't have to chat about that.
We can tune in a year from now. We'll do our spoiler cast.
Well, no, I think we're going to be like talking about this game as we go, and eventually, like a month or 2 months in, we'll be like, okay, well, we're going to chat about this thing because it's really cool. And you know, if you haven't got, you know, if you haven't got there or you don't want to be spoiled, then you don't tune in for that portion. I definitely think we're going to be chatting about this for quite some time. So
it's weird because again, like, I've played 10 to 15 hours. I've done so much, but I've simultaneously done so little.
I've done everything, but I haven't really progressed much.
I think if you want to take anything away from this, is like, I'm having an absolute blast. And I think I've seen criticism of, if you didn't vibe with Breath of the Wild, like, I agree, maybe you're not going to vibe with this. Like, it functions the same, combat's still the same, the world's still, like, even in terms of how, like, this game has shrines. There are shrines for you to do. Like, structurally, it's very similar. So if you hated Breath of the Wild, I'm like, I don't know if you're going to now enjoy this. Like, maybe
the the shrines give you the things to upgrade your life, so that sort of loop is still there, you know.
But, I can't tell you. Sorry. If you're
the shrines are super cool, I think.
I think so.
It's kind of incredible how, because that was one of the parts where I was like, okay, you know, there were 100 something shrines in the first game. I did all of them. How they're going to make those feel fresh? And it's like, oh yeah, well, you've just got all new powers.
You've got
like
brand new tools.
The puzzles are completely fucking different. Yeah, and it's like, oh duh, that makes sense. Yeah,
and it's still ticks that box of like, I know Breath of the Wild. Some of those shrines, some of the puzzles were like very straightforward. Like, oh, move this from here to there. Where here it feels like, you know, you know you've got to do X thing or whatever, but how you do it, it's like, you know.
I think they're very smart in, at least from the first few hours, they're very smart in exposing these sorts of things you can do with the new powers that you might not have thought of.
Yeah.
And then that then enables you in the open world to be like, oh, okay, now I've got this new knowledge of how these two things interact. I can definitely use this, which I think, you know, in the previous game, the abilities you had, obviously people tore those things apart and started combining them in weird ways, but I think most players weren't using them in those ways. You know, they were using the bomb as a bomb and they were using the freeze as a freeze.
Yeah.
But here it's definitely about combining everything together. So
I'm very excited to roll credits one day and watch people speedrun this game, because I can only imagine.
What's the current record? 90 minutes or something?
I saw 94 minutes. I mean, and if that's the first run, they're going to get it down like two.
I mean, because you can do the thing where you go to Ganon and fight him, although I think the big thing for the speedrunners now is like trying to find a way to circumvent that opening, because it's very long.
I was going to ask, I wonder if, so the game opens with like a long walking segment with Link and Zelda. I wonder if there's a way to skip that.
To just completely omit that.
Because
like the first game is pretty much wake up, walk out cave, and game is started, you know. And then when people figured out how to get off the plateau without doing the shrines, that like cracked everything open. So I'm sure they'll find something.
Has that happened though? Do people know how to get off the plateau without getting the abilities?
I think so.
Because I always thought,
I think that was a big like hurdle that someone got past. They were like, they managed, because the game actively disallows you from doing that.
Darren Gar playing Tears of the Kingdom.
I think there was, maybe I'm mistaken, but I swear I read that like they were like, oh, we finally got over that. Or
because that'd be a huge,
Because otherwise you have to do all the shrines, so that's a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, but I think... Sorry, some forewarning. You're going to hear a lot about this game in the weeks to come. I think we're both going to be checking in different capacities. But yeah, I'm absolutely loving it and very excited to play more over the coming months because it's a beast. There's a lot to do in this game.
Just before we close out, I really love how extra the whole tower mechanic is in Zelda. Is like you get fucking ballooned into the air and you have to scan the surrounding areas as you plummet back to Earth and potentially die if you don't figure it out. You know, it's really fun.
Let me tell
you, Ubisoft, take note.
You can go to those towers anytime you want and just yeet into the sky and using it to look around and mark shrines and other points of interest. Invaluable, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Also, very handy to get to nearby sky islands if you never thought about that.
Ah, smart. You know. Yeah, because you actually get propelled further up than the sky islands.
You are so high. Man. But the fact that this game runs on the Switch is insane to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, there are moments of like slowdown, but they like, again, like if the game is good enough, you can push past it. It's not consistent. It's not persistent either. It's like, every now and then when I open up a power, it's like, and then it comes back, you know? Mm. It's like not terrible.
No.
And again, it's running on a handheld that is six years old now.
Just insane.
It's totally fun. Yeah. It's totally fun. It runs better than I actually expected it to. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much
games this week.
Games, yeah, because
it's game this week.
Can't really chat about anything. So should we just move on to
game releases?
Game releases.
Nice.
Let me just open that up.
Ooh.
I think we're in a slight lull until like the beginning of June.
Yeah.
And you know, after June, we kind of need this like E3, not E3 period to kind of flesh out the rest of the year because it's starting to look a bit like dry.
Sparse, yeah.
So we're looking at games from today, May 20th, all the way up until May, I guess it would be 26th. Yeah.
Yeah, there are quite a few releases though.
Oh, wow. Geez. Yeah, they kind of are. Till May 26th. Jeez, there's so many games.
Actually, a lot, yeah.
Okay, let's fly through these. Far World Pioneers, coming to PC and consoles and Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Backpack Hero, love that.
Nice.
PC, consoles and Switch. Inkbound, Steam Early Access on PC, May 22nd.
Miasma.
Miasma Chronicles, coming to PC, PlayStation and Xbox, May 23rd. After Us, PC, PS5 and Xbox Series, May 23rd. Bread and Fred.
Nice.
PC, May 23rd. Star Trek Resurgence, coming to PC, consoles, and consoles on May 23rd. Amnesia the Bunker, PC and consoles, May 23rd. Planet of Lana, PC, Xbox, Xbox One and Xbox Series S and X. That's on Game Pass. That looks pretty fun.
Mm.
It's like a 2D thing. It's got really cool art. I'm keen to give that a go. Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun. This is, I don't even know if this is a shooter or an RTS.
I've actually seen some gameplay of this. It's a shooter, but it's done in a retro, almost like old school Doom. It actually looks pretty cool.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's going to PC, consoles, and Switch, May 23rd. Daydream Forgotten Sorrow, PC, consoles, and Switch, May 24th. Rift Rangers, the full release, I guess it was in early access, PC, May 24th. Dark Quest 3, also coming out of early access on PC, May 24th. Dinopunk, PC, May 25th. Dinopunk.
Nice.
Interesting. Hello, good boy. That's what I say to my dogs every day. PC and Switch, May 25th.
It's that, but the game.
Hello, good boy. Yeah, this is Pet Your Dog, the game.
The game,
Evil Wizard, PC, Xbox Series X and S, May 25th. Proto Droid Delta, okay. PC, PS4, Xbox One and Switch, May 25th. Wow. Do not feed the monkeys, 2099.
What a premise for a game.
Cyberpunk that you never thought would come. Shit. Cyberpunk 2077, Do Not Feed the Monkeys 2099.
It's crazy.
You know, 22 years later, everything's gone to shit.
It's yeah, everything just fell
monkeys
apart.
Monkeys rule the world. That's coming to PC and Switch May 25th. Oh, this is finally coming out. The Lord of the Rings Gollum, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox May 25th. That game looks terrible. Every time I see it, I'm just like, this looks awful.
So, you know, we at my office, we've been doing Metacritic predictions.
What is your prediction for Gollum?
I can't remember what mine is, but let me tell you, everyone's real low on this game.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, it does not look good.
Predicting 60s for this game, I'll tell you that. Still not as low as Redfall. So.
Yeah, you know what's hilarious is that this quick sidebar. Redfall, we all thought like, I think we all predicted like lower 70s, maybe like upper 70s. And then one of my colleagues at the time was like 55. We were like, it doesn't look great, but that's really brutal. Like, come on. That game's Metacritic average is 56. She was actually very close.
Almost dead on. Almost dead on.
So eventually, like,
is it down to 56, the average?
It's very low.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is shocking for Microsoft exclusive. That is embarrassing.
Yeah. Sad times.
Oof. Do you think Gollum will end up higher than Redfall?
I think it might. Which is crazy.
There are going to be a lot of reviews that are like, this is not as bad as I thought, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's better than Redfall, 6 out of 10. Yeah.
Fucking hell. You heard of snakes in a plane. How about above snakes?
Above snakes. You take the plane and you get above the snakes. That's this game.
That's how you win. That's how you win. It's coming to PC May 25th. Town of Salem 2, Early Access, PC May 25th. And last one for the week, The Baby in Yellow. That's Matthew's child. Yes. Steam Early Access PC course. May 26th and that's it. There's not much left for the month. Two big ones are like Company of Heroes 3 and System Shock.
Yeah.
And Company of Heroes 3 is already coming to consoles. It's already on PC, so.
Yeah. And then next month we've got
Street Fighter 6
fast. Diablo 4. We've got Crash Team Rumble later in the month just for you, and then Final Fantasy
Final Fantasy 16.
I've just realized this launches just after I leave. Sad face.
Rip.
Hate to see it.
Man, I'm very excited for Final Fantasy. Oof.
And then, you're right. July and beyond is just like, okay, some stuff.
Yeah, it's very very nebulous. There's not much. There's like stuff for like July and August, but it's not a lot. Like August has got Armored Core. July's got Pikmin.
Lies of P. Yes, please.
Lies of P in September, isn't it?
Or, it's August. August. Well. Yeah.
I could see that getting delayed. I could definitely see that getting delayed. And then Spider-Man is rumored to come out in September along with Starfield. But, you know, I guess we will find out more about that. Look at the segue. In the news.
Huzzah.
PlayStation Showcase is airing this week. If you're listening to this in 2 days. It's airing on Wednesday, which is May 24th, I think. Yeah.
This isn't just any showcase. It is
fuck off late. Let me tell you that much. It is 11 p.m. local time.
Oh, I'm there. What day is it? On Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm up. How long
is it? Get tucked in, because this is not a PlayStation State of Play. This is a showcase. A multi-hour event. This is PlayStation E3.
Yeah, I was going to say, think of E3, not E3.
This is E3. So the show will last for an hour. Will only be an hour. Wow, I thought it would be 2 hours. Never mind. We'll last for an hour and we'll focus on PlayStation 5 and PSVR 2 games. Oh, bless PSVR 2. Remember that.
What a time.
Along with third-party partners and indie creators from around the world. It's likely that this will be, you know, stuffed with big reveals like gameplay for Spider-Man 2, if that's still coming this year.
I'm pretty sure we'll get another look at that.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that that's their marquee title for the year. So, that's going to be the big focus. I think there'll be like a long, maybe 10-minute gameplay walkthrough of that. I'm curious to see what other studios pop up. So we've already got reports from Jeff Grubb, who, you know, accurately predicted the week of this coming up. He basically said that don't expect Dragon Age, what's it called? Dire Wolf?
No idea.
Dragon Age 4, whatever. Don't expect that Age. There, which is like, okay. Also, do not expect Ghost of Tsushima 2 to pop up. And that surprises me. Because I really thought, you know, we're going to see Spider-Man now. We obviously know Insomniac's working on Wolverine as well, and that might come out next year, maybe. I thought this would be the time to be like, okay, what is Sucker Punch doing? What is Sony Ben doing? We know Guerrilla just put out Horizon, so they're not going to be talking, and they're working on a multiplayer thing, so we know they're going to be a while. So it's kind of like, who else is going to be there? Naughty Dog will probably be there with their multiplayer
The Last of Us thing. Yeah.
That definitely is going to show up. So Ghost of Tsushima, you know, I thought that, and then I looked at when Ghost of Tsushima launched. It was only 3 years ago.
No. Yeah, it's that. That's when you said it in the Discord, I was like, isn't it? It feels quite soon.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was earlier than that.
But it's weird because I think of Ghost of Tsushima, like, it's a PlayStation 4 title. It's like, because it launched, like, you know,
at the tail end.
3 months before the PlayStation 5 launched, whatever. So it's like right at the end. I love this poll on Eurogamer. It says, what do you want to see at the next week's PlayStation showcase? So it's Marvel Spider-Man 2, Final Fantasy 16, The Last of Us multiplayer, Baldur's Gate 3, Half-Life Alyx and PS VR 2 with like the crying emoji.
Listen, that if you ever want to give a shot in the arm to PSVR 2 and interest in it, that's how you do it.
Half-Life Alyx.
That's how you get people to be like, oh, maybe I'll buy this thing. To me, this is a make or break for PSVR 2. If the support for PSVR 2 here is weak,
yikes.
They've already kind of like moved away from it. So yeah, maybe we'll get some hardware announcements. That weird streaming portable device that was rumored a while back that is meant to just stream your PlayStation games might be revealed. I still don't fully understand the reason for that thing existing, but maybe they have some features that make it make sense.
Give us the Vita 2, you cowards.
There's also those rumors about a detachable disk drive so that you can plug it into the digital version. And then the assumption that that will lead into like them announcing a PlayStation 5 Slim of sorts, you know. But we'll see. This thing's only an hour long. I think it's going to be stuff full of mostly games. Mm. And, you know, if we do get hardware will be at its own event. I think this is them being like, cool, here's what's coming end of this year. This is why you have a PS5 and also like what to look forward to next year.
Cool. Excited. Very exciting.
We'll get that Metal Gear Solid 3 remake here that's been rumored for ages.
I can't wait to climb that ladder.
Ooh.
Snake and glorious eater. Walker. In other news, I didn't have this on the docket on my side, but... Like Mortal Kombat?
I do, actually.
I mean, do you want to go back in time?
Again? Didn't we do that like a decade ago? What's happening?
So Mortal Kombat 1 has been officially announced because I don't know. Where did your camera go?
I have no camera.
I don't know. Developers are weird when it comes to numbering. No, not even developers, just tech companies in general. I don't know what's going on. So Mortal Kombat 1 is meant to be, I guess, another reboot. But so I was worried that when Ed Boon was teasing, like, oh, hey, there's an announcement coming this week. And then the teaser was a clock going from 11, skipping 12 and going to 1. We go, oh my God. It's Mortal Kombat 1 again. They're going to reboot it. We're going to retread the same steps again. But having seen the trailer now, it is not that. It picks up after Mortal Kombat 11 where, spoilers in case you haven't played it, Liu Kang basically becomes a god and resets the timeline. That's about the extent of what I remember. So it picks up from there where the premise seems to be Liu Kang's like, hey man, like I've built a world of peace. Shit's cool. And then Shang Tsung's like, listen, fuck your piece.
Yeah, get fucked.
You know, kind of like Mortal Kombat 1, the OG, but it's not, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's going to take the form of, oh, there's a tournament, blah, 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 whatever. But it's not quite the same thing. I mean, even in terms of roster, like we've already got Katana and a whole lot of other characters which were not present.
Kung Lao without a little blade hat. He's just like farming.
Yeah, and they were not present in the OG game.
So what's interesting to me is that this is meant to be like a full-on reboot of the timeline to like take it into new like areas. The only thing that I've seen that kind of isn't already established from the old ones is like Scorpion and Sub-Zero seem to be mates.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like Katana and Melina still seem to fucking hate each other. They're both still in Outworld. You know, Liu Kang and Kung Lao seem to be buddies and Shang Tsung seems to be bad guy. And I'm just like, couldn't you have maybe made it different if you're going to be doing the whole reboot thing? You know what I mean? Maybe they will. Maybe the story is, we're basing this off a first look cinematic trailer.
Very, very gory.
Very violent trailer. My God. So maybe there will be more wrinkles there. So I love Mortal Kombat's story modes. I think they're really fun. And I'm in for this. Yeah,
I'm also in. It's out.
In September. It's
pre-order
soon.
And get Shang Tsung. Is he not in the base game?
What? Oh, that's weird.
That's not cool. Yeah.
The confirmed roster right now is Liu Kang, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Raiden. I guess Raiden was the other dude with Kung Lao.
Maybe I never thought of that. Yeah, also.
Yeah. Kung Lao, Katana, Melina, Shang Tsung, and Johnny Cage, which will have a Jean-Claude Van Damme skin in the combat DLC pack.
Absolute
That's pretty
best.
Fucking sick.
I'm here for this. Oops, sorry, my bad.
That's cool. I didn't realize that Mortal Kombat 11 came out in 2019. That was ages ago. NetherRealm's last game.
I thought that was a COVID game. Like, why do I feel that we were playing that during COVID, or did I imagine that?
Maybe we did pick it up during COVID, but it wasn't like out during COVID.
Weird.
But like, this has been a long gap between games for NetherRealm. Normally, every 2 years they put
something
out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very keen to see. Do you think this will be? Have they said it'll be? It's the only current gen consoles, right?
I think so. And Switch.
Get out.
It's very confusing to me as well. I also don't understand.
Because I'm like, awesome, next gen Mortal Kombat and Switch.
But then Switch, yeah. I was also like, wait, you can surely put it on the old consoles then. Maybe it's just a case of like, well, we don't want to spend time debugging or like, you know, like QAing all of those additional platforms, which is like fair.
Yeah.
But like, if it's on Switch, then there
Might
is a
well.
Baseline where it cannot push
you're
past,
half,
you know.
You're halfway there.
My goodness.
In other news, here's your weekly Microsoft Activision Blizzard update. The acquisition has been approved by EU regulators.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think this changes, the big picture stuff, but it is funny that it's been approved by someone else now.
This would have been the champagne showers moment for Microsoft had the UK fucking approved their deal, because if the UK had approved and EU approved, this would have been like solidified. They would probably close. Like, we would be sitting here being like, Microsoft has acquired Blizzard.
Or Phil Spencer, put the champagne away. Okay. keep it on us. It'll happen.
Keep it on us just in case. the EU's found no problem with this. They basically took the approach that the 10-year licensing deals that Microsoft has made to competitors with regards to cloud gaming is enough to stay off their concerns of anti-competition problems. That is, those deals are particularly what the UK took umbrage with, purely because they said, well, Microsoft hasn't really said what will happen after 10 years. Also, they want all the royalties from all these deals anyway, so it doesn't seem very great for the people that are signing these deals. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this decision really puts any pressure on the UK, because like most people have already said, the UK, the commission now, Microsoft's appeal, they can only appeal the process that the CMA took to getting the decision, not the decision itself.
Yeah.
So they can't be like, hey, look, the EU says our cloud things are fine. You said they're not. We're appealing that. It's like, no. That's not how that works. They can only say, in your process, you made this mistake, hence you came to the wrong conclusion. You need to relook at this.
What are the chances?
And then it goes back to the exact same panel that made the decision in the first place, and they go and are like, did we make a mistake? Yes or no? And 90% of the time the CMA goes, we did not make a mistake. Get
so
fucked.
The CMA in the UK, I imagine, does it come down to like a vote at some stage, like all in favor or not in favor or not? Is it just like a discussion?
On the panel, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's like a vote or unanimous decision with regards to that. Yeah.
Because it would be interesting if, you know, if it were to ever come out like, oh, it only wasn't passed by like two
one
votes
person
or something. Yeah. And now all of a sudden there is a chance of it being flipped the other way because those two people go, actually, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
Can't believe you. How do you not know this?
there was a statement from the CMA, I see from The Verge, in response to this, basically saying the UK, US, and European competition authorities are unanimous that the merger would harm competition in cloud gaming. Because the EU did say that. They approved that, and they were like, we still think this might potentially harm cloud gaming, but because that market is so young, we cannot block the deal based on that because we don't know.
Yeah.
So this kind of bolstered the CMA in their decision. So they ended, while we recognize and respect that the European Commission is entitled to take a different view, the CMA stands by its decision. So yeah,
yikes.
This is not
good luck.
This is going on for a long time. The next bit of news we're bound to hear is whether or not Microsoft and Blizzard have negotiated an extension to this, because this thing is meant to close in June or July. And if Blizzard doesn't want to sign an extension, then Microsoft owes them a fuck ton of money, like $3 billion.
Blizzard just saying, we don't want an extension. Easy money.
Listen, if Blizzard doesn't take that extension, if Blizzard decides to go, or Activision Blizzard decides to go it alone, good luck. That company was in disarray before this merger was announced. So I don't know what they do without it. So yeah.
In other surprise news this week, do you like Nicolas Cage?
Love him. Love him.
He's coming to Dead by Daylight.
Sick.
But
can't wait.
I think one of the funniest things I've seen is just comments from people going like, it's not Nicolas Cage from Face Off or one of his movies. It's just Nicolas Cage.
It's just straight up Nicolas Cage. I mean, to be fair, Nicolas Cage is just Nicolas Cage in so many recent movies anyway. He literally had a movie about him being an actor. Yes. Like, so.
Okay, to be fair, it's him from his own movie. Okay.
Yeah. It's Nicolas Cage from Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, you know, Nick Cage was playing Nick Cage.
Have you seen that movie yet?
I haven't. I really want to.
Apparently, it's like surprisingly good.
Pedro Pascal as well.
Have you seen the meme of Nicolas Cage in the car driving with Pedro Pascal? That's from that.
And Pedro Pascal's just like smiling at him. He's like, it's fucking amazing. It's so good.
I need to watch it. Back Pedro Pascal. To Nintendo side of things. Like Tears of the Kingdom. Turns out a lot of people are into this game. So Tears of the Kingdom has sold 10 million copies in 3
I love
days.
This header that Kotaku's got. That's great. Love it.
What?
It's just Link being surprised at all the copies of Tears of the Kingdom that he's about to fall into.
OMG. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is surprising necessarily, but it is. I think the surprising aspect is that it sold this many this quick. So I think, I don't know, in our Discord, Jeff linked sales numbers of Breath of the Wild, and it's a different landscape because obviously the Switch was new, whatever, but like, For comparison's sake, Breath of the Wild launched, it sold like hundreds of thousands in those first few days, not 10 million.
I mean, if you put it into perspective, Tears of the Kingdom has basically sold a quarter of Breath of the Wild's lifetime sales in its first week.
It's insane.
In its first week.
Yeah.
And, you know, Breath of the Wild is sitting at 40-something million, which is absurd in itself.
Which is a lot.
And Tears of the Kingdom is like, 25% of that done. Probably more at this point. I know I looked into, like, comparative figures from, like, Sony. And you look at God of War Ragnarok, which set sales records for Sony. They were super proud of it. Very happy that it sold what it did. And Ragnarok sold 11 million copies in 3 months. So Tears of the Kingdom has probably eclipsed that in a week.
Just destroy that.
It's mental. Nintendo, when it comes to these sorts of games, is operating on another plane compared to its competitors. And they cannot be touched. So, yeah.
Yeah, good on Tears of the Kingdom.
Good on Tears of the Kingdom. And everyone playing. It's great.
Another quick bit of news. Stray is... Well, I don't think it's confirmed, but it looks like Stray is finally coming to Xbox. Can we just...
Yeah, there was an ESRB rating for it on Xbox. That probably means it's coming soon. Oh,
look at the strapline. Shaken, not purred.
Oh my God. You're a gamer. I love you.
Best.
I bet this is something that's announced during the Xbox showcase as an out now thing, you know.
On Game Pass, perhaps.
On Game Pass, It seems, you know, it's close enough that that would probably be the case. Yeah. Stray's real good. I really like this game. So
I don't think it deserves to win. I think it won awards last year. I was like, I would have given it to like Tunic, for example. But Stray, good game regardless. And we saved an absolute zinger for the last article this week.
Oh dear God, yeah.
Overwatch 2's PvE hero mode is being scrapped.
There's a pretty extensive and really good interview by GameSpot's Timur Hussein, one of the biggest Overwatch fans you'll ever find, who broke the story through an interview with Blizzard. And he doesn't hold back on some of the questions. Like, it's a really, really long interview, but it's really worth reading if you're trying to get a sense of what's happened here. So essentially the PvE mode, the hero mode with the progression systems and all of that stuff that was pitched when Overwatch 2 was like initially announced, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, that is not coming. That is gone. And PvE will still exist, but it will be similar to those events like they had in Overwatch 1, like Junkenstein's Revenge and stuff like that. The small little, but the sort of the hero mode that everyone was excited for, that's just off the table now. Blizzard couldn't get it together and they are just like ceasing work on that.
So I need to read this whole article as well, but it's just my knee-jerk reaction is, man, Overwatch 2's whole existence was based on this.
It was this. Yeah.
It was this PvE mode.
I mean, the Blizzard hid behind Overwatch 2 in this mode for 2 years, basically, you know, when people were all like, we haven't had updates to Overwatch 1, we haven't had a new hero in over a year, nothing's happening here. They're like, listen, we get it, but most of our team's working on this massive PvE mode for Overwatch 2, and, you know, eventually everyone's going to move over there. And then Overwatch 2 came out, it was free. People were not happy with the changes to the multiplayer. And now the biggest thing that people are holding hope to, like the whole reason that Overwatch 2 exists, is not coming.
Yeah.
And now it's like you look at Overwatch 2 and you're like, well, what is this? It is a worse Overwatch 1 that's free.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is.
Does Overwatch 1 still have servers, or have they ceased?
No, they've completely moved over. Yeah, it's gone. You can't even launch it from the Blizzard launcher. It's like done.
Hectic.
So yeah, I think if I was a long-time Overwatch fan, like I think most people are there for the multiplayer anyway.
Yeah,
but to be told, hold on, you know, we are going to get back to supporting the multiplayer. We just need to finish this PvE, and for that to just be like completely eradicated is like really shit. So, and I get things change, developments change, but I don't know what's happening at Blizzard. Like, you can have a team like the Diablo team that seems to be firing on all cylinders because like Diablo 4 looks great and all of those tests went off well and people seem happy. And then Overwatch is just, no one's happy. Everyone is unhappy with what's happening here.
I feel like Blizzard, it's actually very sad because I think I was talking about it this week at work, where in 2015 when Overwatch 1 came out, man, Blizzard were firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
It's like brand new shooter, Heroes of the Storm.
Redefined multiplayer games.
Heroes of the Storm was still going strong. Hearthstone was big then. World of Warcraft was still around. StarCraft 2 was still doing its thing. Like, all of their franchises were just, you know, on top, you know, of their respective genres doing well. And you look at it now, it's like, I don't know.
I don't know what's
Diablo 4 is coming out. Like, I'll give World of
Warcraft's like still bleeding subscribers to Final Fantasy 14. Hearthstone's nowhere near as popular as it used to be.
No.
Heroes of the Storm is closed down, dead. If I'm not mistaken. It's just Overwatch dead. 2 is in an awful place. No one's happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been 8 years. Mm. Yeah. Again, I come back to the, will Activision survive if this Blizzard, if this merger doesn't go through? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like they put all of their eggs in the Call of Duty basket and, you know, they don't know what else to do now. So,
yeah. Interesting times. But yeah, that is news for this week.
That means we are moving on to user questions. If you've got a question, you can email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on any of our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat. I feel so nasally. I'm very sorry if I sound like...
Yeah. How dare you? In winter? Yeah. I can't.
In winter, all of the... Been sick most of the week. It's awful.
Hate to see it.
Have we got questions for this week?
We do have a question on Instagram from Bester Bash, who asks, have you been caught red-handed yet in Tears of the Kingdom?
Red-handed?
I have not. So I don't know. I don't know what that's referencing. Maybe there's a story moment or something that happens if you try to steal.
Yeah, I don't know what that's... Well, listen, I've barely played past the opening.
I mean, I've played a fair bit, and that's still foreign to me. So I don't know. So, add us, Best of Bash. Tell us what is going on.
Interesting. Okay.
We have a comment on Twitter. So, you know, I always put out our weekly question. Hey, got any questions? You want answered? Blah, blah, blah. Dutch Matrix replied, go ask someone else.
Wow.
Sad face.
Rude.
So rude. That's question.
If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Don't say anything at all. Getting that tattooed on my lower back.
On my forehead. So that people know when they greet me to say something nice.
Yeah. They look at you, their body say like, why do you have a tattoo on your head? And they just keep quiet. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Wow, you have such a dumbass tattoo on your head. Well, did you fucking read it? Yeah, exactly.
No, just stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your verbal lane.
Stay in your verbal lane. Sure, short and sweet this week.
No, yeah, no, I mean, it is mainly down to like me not having a game to, well, me not able to talk about a game. So, but I do think we got a lot of Breath of the Wild through, so I'm pretty happy with that. Mm. Yeah. That's been episode 224 of Checkpoint Chat.
Mm-hmm.
As always, if you listened, we thank you very much for your support.
Yes.
We appreciate everyone who listens week in and week out and everyone who sends in questions. And we will be back for sure next week, definitely slightly later. So if it's not out on Monday, just check social channels. We'll give an exact time as to when the next episode of God will be. It'll be Tuesday, but I'm not entirely sure of the time yet. Mm.
There'll be a lot.
But yeah, we'll have lots of new games to talk about.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Cool.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Okay, bye.